Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
It's all true. We've had hour one. Chuck Oliver Show, talked a lot of college football. Did that a lot of it with Dave Bartu. Every Tuesday, bottom hour one, Dave Bartu comes on and we talk personnel movement throughout college football and then also specifically quarterbacks because he drills down and does work for at least one NFL team when it comes to quarterbacks. I know he's had more clients in the past. So that's just what Dave does, and I appreciate him coming on. Also, his college basketball thing, he's punching numbers in and betting literally every game and just printing money, so good for him. David Nuno, Texags, we're going to talk Texas A&M and some of their we know what's going on the sidelines. On the field, it still has to be determined. I know who the coaches are, so that's already – there's no like, all right, and our starting wide receiver coach. No, that's all set. So we can talk about that with David Nuno as well as on field and what happens with Connor Wegman and what really is possible. Brian Matthews, going to talk Auburn as they've practiced and had a break and practicing now, and so that's what's going on the Plains. Spell check. That's one I saw, can't remember who it was. I don't know the kid's name. It was a high school player, and he was tweeting out we'll be on the Plains on Saturday or a month from Saturday, whenever. There's some recruiting event, and I'm going to be on the Plains. And I guess when he's typing that in, it changed it to Plaines. And then it's like, nah, it's not really what it is. I'm going to the University of Clemson. I'm like, nah, it's not really what it is. But it's also a 17-year-old who doesn't, so it's no big deal. But I was like, oh, son, spell check. So we'll talk what's going on at Auburn, as well as Dan Matthews joining us and et cetera, et cetera. Coach Prime, man, I was talking about him being so straightforward with the transfer portal and how this is the truth. He's just the prime example of it, that the truth about the transfer portal, most coaches really like being able to run kids off using the transfer portal. That's the actual truth about the transfer portal. Now, the additional truth, as well as they like being able to run kids off, they don't have to take so much time. They can just say, look, you're not going to play. I mentioned that maybe it was Friday. Now, the additional truth is, yes, it's a tremendous headache and one roster situation after another that you have to deal with once you look at and think, all right, well, the roster's set. No, it's not. It used to kind of only work one way, and that was when you would dismiss a kid. That's not really what it is anymore. There'll be 10 kids. There'll be an SEC team that has 10 kids who actually go through spring, like running around making plays in spring, and then 10 kids who did that. Of all the kids in spring who did, there'll be an SEC team that has 10 of those kids that aren't with the program this coming fall. That's going to happen. And so I was like, Deion is just being transparent and upfront about, he's like, I'm embracing that part of it. You hear the coaches, all the coaches want to talk about is the complain part. It's so difficult, recruit my own roster, and that's real. Deion says, I'll talk about both sides of it. I told every kid on this roster, you may want to transfer. So respect for Coach Prime. And he may be handing out the highest respect possible. He may be handing out the highest respect possible, certainly if it's coming from him. You see what Travis Hunter is doing in spring? Playing wide receiver. Deion 2.0 is possibly what, I don't know, Deion 1.0 sees. Travis Hunter is a five-star football player. Coming out of high school, he was. And then at Jackson State, he played defensive back. He played corner. And he also played wide receiver. Now, Deion knows 500 times more about this than I ever would. But here's the truth. On Friday nights, for a high school coach, I don't know, you want to get promoted. Like I told you, Mickey Kahn played quarterback way back in the day, a place called South Gwinnett High School. Then he walked on at Alabama and won a national championship. And then he was head coach at a place called Grayson High School and won state title or two, maybe. A bunch of great players. And now he was an analyst at Clemson and then a secondary coach. And I think Mickey is now the co-defensive coordinator at Clemson. And a lot of that stems back to he knew Dabo back at Alabama, but he also state of Georgia when the state titles highest classification. It matters. So I understand there is a big picture there, but ultimately, for the high school coach, most of the time, dominating on Friday nights is the goal. And putting guys into college and college scholarships and maybe, you know, brandishing your own reputation, okay, there's upside for that. Rush Probst. I watch Rush Probst try to get my opinion. I believe what I was watching was Rush Probst try for 4 days to get hired at Media Days. He would walk up and down, like he was on his way to see someone, and he would be looking and like walking past everybody, and then like 15 minutes, do the same thing, come back the other way. And I was like, I never see him actually talking or meeting, getting to that point that he's looking for past that. I'm busy. I'm in a hurry. So I understand that happens. But ultimately, it's about Friday nights for a high school football coach. And almost every football coach is not like, and almost every coach realizes that. I'll say most of the high school coaches I know, you're not even really like actively pursuing. I want to get on the staff at Colorado. That's not what you're doing. So for Friday night, especially at a place called Collins Hill, it was about Travis Hunter can dominate. So you don't have to necessarily refine his talent. When a guy like Travis, I say he's a five-star football player. That's what this is all about. On a Friday night, it's enough to just walk out on the field and be Travis Hunter. Now, the next level guy, he may realize, and it's a very rare, like self-motivated 16-year-old stud, I can dominate without trying, but I'll try really hard. That's a rare 16-year-old. But that's when you start getting better at all of the technique involved in being like a generational sort of guy. If you look at Travis Hunter last year, some of that, and Deion is addressing this. Travis Hunter last year at Jackson State, he played both positions, and a lot of it was kind of natural. He played both positions, and it looked, I don't want to say easy, but it kind of looked easy. And he was 18, and he wasn't playing at the highest level. But there is something about, again, I want to say the pure, you can lean on the talent, especially if you're playing man coverage. If you're an elite guy, lock up against number, 82 and just follow him around and shut him down. And you can kind of do that sometimes. If you're that much better and physically gifted, you can do that, especially on a Friday night when you play corner and man. If you're a wide receiver on Friday nights, almost always, you know what you can do? Run down the field. We're going to throw it and play giant receiver, elite recruit jump ball. And we're going to win. That's on Friday nights, and that's kind of attainable. I told you, I watched Eric Berry play quarterback, safety, punter, kicker. He never came off the field. And he just ran around and was better than everybody all night. And so sometimes you get that. Everybody's got that kid. Dan knows that kid. David's got that. Everybody listening right now, you're going, I knew that kid. Quarterback, say, I told you about Hines Ward. Hines Ward in the state of Georgia. I was trying to scout Forest Park High School. I was trying to scout that week's opponent, and I was like, yeah, I don't know that these are plays. I think they just snap it to this guy, Hines Ward, and he just, and then he's better. Like, that's kind of an offense. Enough offense for a high school coach, because dominating on Friday night is enough. It's not enough just to be physically gifted most times on Saturdays. So this is where I say Deion, he may see Deion 2.0, and like he's Deion 1.0. Deion, I think, is the greatest punt returner in NFL history. He's the greatest corner in NFL history. I think he's the greatest player overall in NFL history, because he also had that season where he's like, yeah, I'll go play receiver and caught like 50 passes. I mentioned that before in regards to Travis Hunter. But this shows that Deion wasn't just, oh, I'm better than everybody. Deion's a really, really smart guy, and he understands everything about, because you can't have enough talent to be the best ever. You can have enough talent to get on a roster and play in the league and get a pension. If you're going to be Deion as a corner, Deion as the greatest NFL player ever, which is what I contend, then it's more, it's the talent, and then it's you worked really hard and understood. You had knowledge. Here's Deion talking about being a receiver, because he's playing Travis Hunter at wide receiver almost exclusively in spring. Quote, he needs to learn everything about being a receiver. He's a natural DB. But at wide receiver, he's got to learn the signals, has to understand route movement, arms staying in tight to his body, shoulders over his knees, has to learn everything about being a receiver, checks, everything. He's focusing a lot on receiver right now. We're happy with his progress. Says, as a defensive back, we're going to line up in man and say, hey, Travis, now we're still going to work on back pedal, drop step, just all kinds of stuff. How to commit pass interference without getting called for pass. We're going to work on all kind of stuff. But he's got some of that figured out already. He's a natural defensive back. That means he can turn and go in man coverage and stay with you, because he's tall, got long arms, and blaze. Receiver? A receiver, that's about committing pass interference without being called as well. That's about all kinds of things that are nuances that aren't necessarily as natural as playing corner. So good for Deion, and he's also showing a different side that most of us don't give Deion credit for. We're going to break. Continue on. It's Tuesday next.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Making the world more complicated. That's one of the biggest mistakes for all of us, making our world more complicated unnecessarily, making our world more complicated than it needs to be. Jimbo Fisher, I want to ask him, you weren't ambushed by a question about who's going to call the plays. I don't know. What I want to think is he had just like a big drink of like ginger ale, and like the bubble was, and so there was a pause and it was uncomfortable. That's what I want to think. That's not what happened. Jimbo, my opinion is Jimbo, it is going to be, juggling chainsaws for him to be there on a Saturday not calling plays. That's what I think. I want to welcome on right now, though, a guy who, he's going to shine a light on this. I bet he can, because when it comes to talking Texas A&M, everybody at TexAgs.com, they know what it's about. David Nuno, welcome back, brother. How you doing today?
I'm great, man. Thank you very much. It's interesting. Look, I know how much you know about college football, how plugged in you are, so this is not a shot at you. But I do think there's a lot of people that aren't as plugged in as you are that have these opinions about a 15-second Jimbo Fisher soundbite without listening to the totality of the presser, that are like reading his body language and determining things. And I honestly – I walked away from that presser yesterday, Chuck, and I thought he seemed a little agitated from the very beginning. And maybe it was because of the amount of questions about Bobby Petrino. But I don't really read into press conferences and telling me how a coach is going to behave on game day. I look at it more as let's see, right? Because I don't think you bring in a Bobby Petrino without giving him a lot of say. And I also don't think if you've been in the past talked about as being a quarterback guru and an offensive genius, you don't just completely take a step back from being the offensive mind of your football team. So I think there will be some kind of reshuffling and reorganizing in his thoughts. But I don't think he's just walking away from the offense. But I do think Bobby's going to have more of a say than I think people took from that soundbite.
All right, let's talk a little bit about something completely different, because there's so much talk about returning guys and those freshmen from last year. I want to jump back into the pit again. I want to talk about more expectations for true freshmen at Texas A&M. Reuben Owens, what can his – I don't think it's going to be a role. I think it's going to be bigger than a role he has. What do you feel about Reuben Owens as a true freshman?
Well, I think he's going to be great, absolutely. The beauty – so yesterday was the first day of spring practice, so I got to see him up close for the first time. And this guy looks like he's been there for a while. Not necessarily how he internalizes the offense, because we're not really seeing that much in spring ball, but just his size, his stature, the way he stands around the other players, I think he could have a huge role. You're absolutely right. But there's two other guys around him that have waited their time that I – you know, Le'Veon Moss was recruited hard by Alabama, and he chose Texas A&M. He's a guy that I think you're going to learn a lot about. And also, just the way Amari Daniels ran and his few opportunities last year. So there's a good collection that it doesn't have to be all about Reuben Owens. But, you know, you look at what Ole Miss was able to do last year, right, when they brought in Zach Evans. But Quinshon Judkins became the guy. Yeah. I am hoping that we can see that kind of transition for Reuben Owens, but it doesn't have to be that.
All right, I want to give a disclaimer here, because I tell people all the time, like Jonah Williams showing up in Tuscaloosa and I think being the best lineman as a freshman, that's not real. All right, TJ Shanahan, what can he be? Because I have seen expectation that, like, he gets in the muck this year.
Yeah, I think he could. He absolutely could. TJ Shanahan absolutely could. But if you look at Jimbo's track record since being there at A&M, Kenyon Green's a different kind of, like, great player
monster
that has gone on to the NFL, right? Monster. But he usually takes his time. Now, you did see Bryce Foster his freshman year start out of necessity because they lost to Luke Matthews for his career, so they had to force him into starting. Had they had their pick, I don't think he would have started Bryce Foster right away. Same thing with Reuben Fothery. I believe that Jimbo, especially with his offensive line, likes to take his time with these guys. But we saw last year with Cam Dewberry, it took until the Alabama game for that kid to get in, and the only reason he got in was because of an injury on the offensive line. And once he got in, he got to play a lot. You've got a lot of returners. You've got three-fifths of your starting lineup that has been there for multiple seasons, right? Bryce Foster will be healthy. You will have Reuben Fothery, who didn't have a great year, and Layden Robinson. And then the rest of the offensive line will shake out. They don't need Shanahan to start, but he's very capable with his body type.
All right. I don't know. Stud, high four-star, almost five-star corners from the state of Texas. Gimme. Javon Thomas. And this is the difference. A corner who knows what man coverage is about and can turn and run, he can play as a freshman with ease sometimes.
Yeah, again, another one of those situations. I don't think he has to, but, you know, you live in a different world today that you're going to play freshman. You have to, because you can lose him right away. It's a different college football world. But I don't think that Javon Thomas is somebody who's walking into a starting role. You've got guys that have been there that I think can play. If you look at that entire secondary, really, like, if you look at the entire group, there's players that have a lot of experience out there. They did, you know, lose some folks to the NFL draft, and we'll see how high Antonio goes, Antonio Johnson and Jalen Jones goes. But the rest of that group has played a lot of football, and Javon Thomas is a guy that I think you could absolutely see getting a lot of playing time, but you don't have to. They are thin at cornerback, though, so they certainly need some help.
And part of that is addressed with two former five-star recruits. I know Tony Grimes was a five-star, and he skipped his whole senior year of high school. Sam McCall had a really uneven experience at Florida State last year, but those are two uber recruits at that same position, right?
Absolutely. Those guys, I think you're going to expect to play quite a bit, no doubt about that. And Tyreek Chappell, somebody that people don't talk about a lot, he was a lockdown guy for this program last year. So you throw in those guys. With Tyreek Chappell, who was excellent for this program, and Tony Grimes, he was a guy that a lot of programs were interested in. They were able to lock him in. My biggest concern, though, is the depth at the cornerback spot, but really even bigger than that is the linebacker spot, to be very honest with you, Chuck.
Yeah, talk a little bit about, because it has been I have been really surprised, and I mean in a good way, looking up at the end of the year going, Buddy Johnson had that number? Like, there have been standout guys who have just popped up on my radar out of nowhere. Give me a name that maybe hasn't had a lot of run so far that, like, by week three people are going, okay, he's the new Antonio Johnson, for instance.
Okay, well, at least from the linebacker spot, I'll start at linebacker because we are very intrigued by Martrell Harris. He's the guy that I think played a little bit towards the end of last season, really grew, and I think you're going to be very impressed with him. A lot of people know the name Edge Cooper, at least folks who watch the SEC. He didn't have a great year last year. I think he is another name on the linebacker spot that you need to watch out for. As for the rest of the backfield, let me try to think. You know, Fadell Diggs got hurt in early part of last year. He was a guy that was coming off multiple sack games back-to-back. He's a name that I think you're going to know by the end of the season. That defensive line, as good as they can be, did not get the quarterbacks enough last year, and I think Fadell Diggs is the name you will hear quite a bit from.
Yeah, you know, I mention all the time, you know, Jadeveon Clowney, Derek Barnett, also not real as a freshman. And so when I saw some of those 18-year-olds out there on the line of scrimmage in the SEC, I was like, folks, that's grown man work, and they're just not there yet. No matter how many stars you have, if you're 18, it is tough sledding as a true freshman unless you're like Derek Barnett. David, great stuff, brother. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, brother. We'll talk soon.
David Nuno, TexAgs.com. Derek Barnett, you don't like Jadeveon Clowney, of course, he was the number one player in America, huge recruit, five-star, and should have been, and made an immediate impact at South Carolina. You go look at Derek Barnett. In fact, I'm going to do that right now. Derek Barnett, as a freshman, folks, he was a true freshman, showed up in the SEC, is like, hi, I'm here to be first team. Derek Barnett had 10 sacks as a true freshman. Now, here's the one thing, and this takes nothing away from him or Jadeveon or anybody else who's able to do this. Even then, that was on the edge, and I am not, I'm not even mitigating. I'm giving you an additional detail. At least that's on the edge. Wherever so often, maybe you're head up, maybe you're not. Maybe you're shaded outside, maybe you're in a wide technique. So maybe you're not head up. And you know what's not going to happen almost ever? What's not going to happen almost ever is you're not going to get hit from two directions. That's what's not going to happen. If you're on the edge, then unless there's, I don't know, a wing back or a receiver, and they can't block that way anymore, it's at least easier. And so I'll give you all those. What I can't give you is a whole lot of 18-year-old, like, interior guys. And that's offensive line or defensive line. But on the defensive line, at least there are numbers that we can measure. And again, when you look at the 10 sacks for Derek Barnett, he had 25 and a half tackles for loss. Folks, he was eight. That's not a real expectation. And it just shows you the mountain you got to climb in a conference like the SEC to be on the field and productive. That's why I'm saying, as talented as they are, a lot of times it is just trying to stay at the surface of the water.
Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Show continuing on this Tuesday. Update, 9 states, 66. How about us? I just haven't been paying attention, folks. So the numbers keep going up. I appreciate, honestly, the blessing. Just peel off the roof and pour the blessing in, and I just appreciate that so much. It's college football, and we like that. All right, I'm going to step outside my role as radio host. I'm going to be a fan for a minute because one thing I am used to as an Auburn fan and graduate is whether it's spring or August or like the morning of week one, I am used to dang near every season, I know one, if not two or three, like monsters coming off the edge. Every single year, I'm like, no, Jeff Holland's coming back. Auburn's going to be good. No, Corey Lemonnier, D Ford, somebody's coming back, and he's really good, and I don't know that this year. And I was even wrong about, like, Colby Wooden was coming back 2 years ago. I was like, Colby Wooden's coming back. And I was like, no, that's not who's coming back. Derek Hall's coming. So even when I was wrong, though, I had some names. I don't have any names. I don't know who it is. I say we turn to somebody who covers the team on a daily basis and has done so for, my gosh, two decades. From Auburn's rival site, it is Brian Matthews. Brian, how you doing on the plains today, man?
I'm doing good, and I got you some names.
Oh, give me some names, because I'm sure that's 20 years you've been covering the team. Like, every August, you can look and go, here's two or three guys that are going to swallow up quarterbacks. I don't know who that is going into the 23, or I guess halfway through spring practice in 23 at least.
Yeah, and with Auburn's new defense, that rushing, pass rushing position is now called the Jack linebacker. And Auburn's got a few of them. I'm sorry to say they don't have like a veteran, like a Derek Hall, like a Luedo type on this team yet. What they have is Keldrick Falk. He's a true freshman. He's 6'6", 275. Had a really good first positional type scrimmage. You know, wasn't a full, tackle everybody's type scrimmage, but he was really good there. He's not a super speed guy. He's more of a power rusher, but definitely a guy that you're going to be excited to play. Play Auburn football. Could be a start as a true freshman. I do think Auburn is going to look in the portal when it gets going back in May for potentially a pass rusher if there's one available. That's kind of a premier position, so it's kind of like, you know, Black Friday rush on Walmart if one of those guys jumps in the portal.
All right, this is interesting. Dylan Brooks, who was going to go to Tennessee, and then their, you know, craziness happened, and he's like, no, I'm going to stay pretty close to home, go to Auburn. He's a former five-star kid who is still in the program, and he hasn't played a whole lot. What is ahead, or what do you think is possible for Dylan Brooks?
He's a third-year guy, redshirted his first year, played a little bit last year. Right now, I mean, you know, he's still out there competing, but it looks to me like Keldrick Falk, Elijah McAllister, the Vanderbilt transfer, who's another big kid, 6'6", 270. And another true freshman, Britton Williams, who's not quite as big and has more of a, you know, that speed rush ability a little bit, are probably ahead of him right now. I just think Dylan just doesn't quite, whatever it is, he doesn't quite have it. Just not competing at a high enough level, I think, right now to be a big-time contributor. But maybe the light will come on. I don't want to, you know, downplay a kid or say he doesn't have a chance. But just right now, I'm not sure he's going to be a guy they're counting on.
Can I now again? I'm gonna. You didn't say this. Chuck is saying this. What I'm hearing is, you remember when Byron Cowart was in the program? I never heard a whole lot about bad kid doesn't work hard. I heard like it just ain't happening. Like the light isn't coming on. It just isn't happening for Byron. And when he transferred to Maryland, I think all I heard was Godspeed. I hope something good happens to him. That sounds like there's some overlap. Like it ain't happening. And that's a very nonspecific term. But that's kind of what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to say it, right? There's probably a lot of good reasons for it, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know all those, and I certainly don't like to, you know,
sure,
spread rumors or talk, you know, down about kids, you know, on the team. But, you know, I'd say right now he's not in the mix.
All right, well, let's go all the way to the back end and talk about somebody who's been there for more than a minute, Nehemiah Pritchett, Jalen Simpson. Just tell me what they can become with Wesley McGriff back.
Well, I would say that the secondary is probably one of the strengths or the strength of this team. And the defensive line looks really good, too, with all the newcomers. But Jalen Simpson, you know, he moved to safety late in the season because of injuries.
Yeah.
And they liked him so much there that they're going to keep him there. They think he's an NFL player at that position. So they're really excited about what he's done and is doing at that safety position. You know, he's a guy that certainly can cover. from anywhere, and also plays really physically for a guy that's, you know, right around 180 pounds, 6'1". So, he's one of those wiry guys. He's not real thick. But definitely like him there. And then you look at the cornerback positions. You got Nehemiah Pritchett back as a senior. You got DJ James, the Oregon transfer, back as a senior. Right, both those guys started last year, were really good players. And then you've got a lot of good backups there, a lot of good depth. One guy to keep an eye on is another true freshman, Kyan Lee, enrolled in January, went through workouts. Every single player and coach I've talked to has talked this kid up. He was a defensive back out of Cedar Grove in Georgia, who Auburn flipped from Ohio State late in the process. And he's going to play as a true freshman, and I think he's going to be the next great cornerback at Auburn. Auburn's really put out some terrific NFL cornerbacks over the last 7, 8, 9 years.
All right, guys. We've been talking with Brian Matthews about 5 minutes here. He's from the Auburn Rival site, and everything he said, it's great information. None of it matters. Let's talk about quarterback. Who's going to be the quarterback? Yeah. Because that's going to be – that. There's your season, man.
Well, I think you're right, and I'm going to say what I keep saying to everybody is I don't think Auburn's starting quarterback for 2023 is on the roster right now. I really don't. They're working T.J. Finley, Robbie Ashford, Holden Garner, this spring. T.J.'s probably been the most consistent of the group so far. But anytime I say that, I'd say that with the caveat that I don't think, Auburn's done in the portal as far as quarterbacks go. I think two things can happen after spring. Number one, you have some really high-profile quarterback competitions at Georgia, for example, and other big schools where you got multiple five-stars competing. The guys that finish second and third sometimes look to transfer and can transfer and have a lot of success at other schools. We've seen that LSU, Ohio State, transfer quarterbacks come in and have great seasons and go on the NFL. So that's one possibility. And the other possibility is maybe a guy like Grayson McCall from Coastal Carolina decides to jump back in the portal, or somebody, I'm using as an example, somebody from a smaller school, a group of five school that has that type of talent that might want to, take an opportunity to play at a school like Auburn. So I think that's one that we'll be monitoring really, really closely here in a couple of months.
All right. On offense, I do want to ask you about a guy. I mean, honestly, I will say that I saw a transfer from FIU at tight end, and I didn't get so excited about it. Everybody who has eyeballed Rivaldo Fairweather up close said he is a sight to behold, that he doesn't look like everybody else. Talk about just the physical stature. And he also needs to be able to play, not just look great.
Yeah, the first day we went out there, we saw him make a great catch right in front of us, leaping up. And Jay Tate, our publisher, made a great picture of that. But he is 6'4", 250, and just looks athletic. And you can see him out there running. He is going to be a featured receiver at tight end in this offense. I think that's what Hugh Freeze and Philip Montgomery like to do when they can. And I think he has that ability. So, yes, he is a guy to sort of put a check by and say, I'm going to watch this guy, number 13, Rivaldo Fairweather.
Coy Moore, can he be more than just a reliable guy?
I don't know. We'll see. I know he has the motivation, right? He wants to be the guy at receiver, but I haven't really seen that yet, right? I think right now, Camden Brown is the guy that's stepping up the most. Had a terrific catch during the scrimmage Friday. And, has had some other DBs. I like to ask the DBs about the receivers, because they usually give good answers, and I've had a couple of them mention Camden as a player they're really excited about. He's just a sophomore, played as a true freshman last year, so he's a guy to watch. Nick Marner, the 6'6 kid, they got a transfer from, I guess he's from Hawaii, and then he went to Cincinnati, I think.
Uh-huh.
And big kid, right? Big catch radius, which Ufries really likes. If he can get be a little bit more consistent catching the ball, he can be another guy that really stands out this year.
All right, last thing for you. And, by the way, I'm not trying to lead you into anything. And as you said, we don't want to, condemnation in spring practice. This is what your whole career is going to be. We don't do that. But you mentioned Garner. And just because he was recruited by a different guy and he has a reputation of, man, what a strong arm, I think, well, pocket guy, does he do what Hugh Freeze wants to do? Like, is that skill set good? Because I look and go, well, he's not Malik Willis.
Potentially, right, because I think Hugh Freeze can operate, with an athletic quarterback and running those RPOs, or he can do it with a less athletic guy. So I think he could be. I think the number one aspect that Hugh Freeze wants is quarterback is accuracy. And I think that's something all three of these quarterbacks are working on, right? We know that Robbie, you know, completed less than 50% of his passes, I think, last year. We know TJ struggled with that, too. And Holden hasn't really had a chance, right, to really show what he can do yet. But, you know, that's all things that those guys are trying to improve in practice.
Yeah, because he was the legit two the final few games. And right. I remember the kind of feel was like, well, so is there going to be a special I didn't even get the question at it. Like, I was going to ask, is there a special package? You want to get him on the field? And they're like, no. We do not want to get him on the field. and that's just a tough – that's a tough, you know, spot to be in going into, like, the final month of the season. Brian, it's always great to catch up, brother. Thank you for your time.
Hey, I appreciate any time.
Follow this man on Twitter, BMattAU. Covers them for Rivals. But it was because I always think, you know, the evaluation, it had to be kind of on. And maybe it was, but it's just early. And so I want to think that, well, Robbie Ashford's playing. He hadn't been on the field in 2 years. Gurner's a true freshman. And he got on the field some. As I recall, it might have been like an injury or an equipment thing. But then he wasn't on the field a whole lot. And so I'm trying to put a positive spin on it. So there's going to be a special group of plays. No, there's going to be no special group of plays. I was like, oh, this is not one of those warm fuzzies. We want Robbie to go out there and do special things. So that seems to be the goal. And Robbie Ashford, to me, of the three, and that's why I asked about Gert. I don't want to, you know, draw a permanent black mark through his name for never to be removed. You don't want to do that to a kid who is about to turn maybe 19 in spring practice and he's never really played before. You don't want to do that. I believe Robbie Ashford has a chance to be Auburn's quarterback in 2023. I believe it would be the first choice of the choices Hugh Freeze doesn't want to make. Unless he's a competitor and he's a ball player. He's an athlete. And he can be a quarterback some. Seen some of that. And so all that stuff may, you know, conspire and he turns into, you know, something. I'm not even going to mention the name Bo Wallace, but as far as the general profile of, and it's not the same thing even close, but an exciting guy who sometimes can we complete a pass when we have to? That's no way to live in the SEC. It's just not. All right, we break. We will wrap up on this Tuesday next.
The Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Tony Mitchell has been suspended from the team on all team activities until we gather more information about the situation and what his legal circumstance is. And guys, everybody's got an opportunity to make choices and decisions. There's no such thing in being at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Oh, snap. That's Nick Saban, and he's talking about a freshman defensive back. No, he's not. He's talking about discipline and still maintaining control of your program even in 2023. There are so many times that what Nick Saban is talking about, that ain't what Nick Saban's talking about. There are most times who Nick Saban's talking to ain't who Nick Saban's talking to. I don't believe you need a roadmap to get from Nick Saban's comments down the street to Coleman Coliseum and the head basketball coach, Nate Oates. Now, this is one area where I will agree. Tony Mitchell is a freshman. He had weed, and so apparently a lot, and just a bit too much to say, oh, personal consumption. I swear. I was just going to have a big party myself. So whatever. He's got his deal to deal with. And Nick Saban, he could have said anything. And what do we know about Nick Saban? Even the Jimbo stuff. He knows that the words he picked probably went too far with Jimbo, but those were still the words he picked. Nick Saban is not an off-the-cuff guy. And there's nothing wrong if he is. But he's not an off-the-cuff guy. Nick Saban, he's got intent with every word he says. That's my opinion. That's me saying this. That's not me speaking for Nick Saban. I think he said those words on purpose. If you recall, Nate Oates, off-the-cuff, without thinking, without having full knowledge. Wrong place, wrong time. I said then, I was like, that's going to be a real bad, and then it turned into an awful look. Everybody recognized in the, everybody except him recognized in the moment. It's like, oh, wow. And then he, you know, explained further and clarified and took back and apologized and did a whole lot of things to undo that statement. But it still was, wrong place, wrong time. Nick Saban said, yeah, wrong place, wrong time doesn't exist. Do y'all remember Pac-Man Jones, Adam Jones, the defensive back? He was good. And I mean like next level good. Like he was this tiny little, how tall was Pac-Man? 5'10"? I say tiny. He was not one of those, he wasn't Richard Sherman. And he was a punt returner and a corner. And until he got in some strip club issues out in Las Vegas, where there were arrests and whatever, most of Pac-Man, when we'd hear about Pac-Man Jones in the news, and he was a draft pick, I want to say, in 2005. And then he was probably in the, I bet he was in the league for 10, 11, 12 years. Dan, you probably, when he was in Dallas, were you in covering anybody? He had, didn't Dallas have to, like part of him being able to come off suspension and sign with the Cowboys, didn't he have to have like a babysitter?
I think he did. And I know that, I believe that it was reported that Dez Bryant had somebody that followed him around.
Yes. Yeah. That all right. Well, we can, now you're off suspension. You can sign with Dallas, but there's someone that is going to kind of just go do what you want. He'll be at the table down the restaurant from you. All right. Or he'll be in the movie theater, just sitting like four seats behind you. Like, we're just going to have somebody just to monitor to make sure that Adam is happy. So he's a guy that his big response always was, wrong place, wrong time. I didn't get charged with a crime, wrong place, wrong time. And I was like, it seems to be the wrong place, wrong time once you get there. Like, that seems to be what happens. Is it's not you, it's your friend. It's not you, it's your cousin. It's not you, it's your bodyguard. It's not you, it's the stripper. It's, you know, it's not you, it's the bartender. It was not, never me, I just wrong place, wrong time. I'm like, yeah. And it seems that once you get there, that's when it becomes wrong place, wrong time for everybody. I've never believed wrong place, wrong, just wrong place, wrong time. In fact, there's an, I don't know why this is like bang on the Cowboys day. I'm trying to remember, there was a defensive back played for Dallas and his name was maybe Keith Davis. And he was somewhere, wrong place, wrong time, just, I don't know, in traffic. He was at a gas station picking up barbecue for dinner. Something happened. Keith Davis got shot. I think his name was Keith Davis. He's like, hey, wrong place, wrong time. If I'm remembering, it might have been like, I don't know, 8 months later, 9 months later, Keith Davis. He's like, hey, man, wrong place, wrong time. I just got shot again. I'm like, no. Nobody just, I randomly got shot again. What are you, Tupac? No, wrong place, wrong time. So I believe Nick Saban saying more than just put the discipline involving Tony Mitchell will be. Dan, how's your day?
Oh, man, so far so good. You know, the funny thing is, you know, there are often sometimes some comparisons between baseball and football. But this one right here, until Dennis Dodd about a week ago shared that college football attendance was actually up. But that's the one thing we've been hearing about for the longest time. We can't get people to the field, where we can get them here, but we can only get them here for huge games. And I think if nothing else, it kind of leads you down the path of what we have just seen for the past few days, especially of the World Baseball Classic on TV. That atmosphere has looked amazing. And it has been, I think, a combination of three things. You're selling an atmosphere. It has been exactly that, both with the U.S. playing there. Japan has been able to bring a strong contingent of fans. Mexico, as well as Venezuela and Cuba there in Miami. And you've been able to sell an atmosphere. You've been able to sell excitement. And that's been up to the players, and the players have delivered. And they have absolutely been able to do that. You can do both of those things in college football. I'll get to the first part, especially here in just a second. But the third is you can sell the entertainment with the players, and that's exactly what they have done with the way that Team USA has played, but also, too, with the excitement on the field. I was actually, before I was about to join you here, I saw Ben Verlander, the brother of Justin Verlander, does some work with Fox Sports. The highlight of last night's walk-off by Japan is the most retweeted clip that Fox Sports has ever had in its entire history of the game. People love excitement. They love the atmosphere. They love the entertainment more than anything. And the atmosphere, too, let me even take it a step further. I remembered a few years ago, it was just a casual Sunday that I was here in the area and I was watching some NFL football. And I remember that there were some guys that I saw pull up to the bar and they had their luggage with them. And I'm like, that's kind of strange. So then they were sitting next to me at the bar, and I just said, not for nothing, you know, it's probably none of my business, but why do you guys have your luggage? Oh, we're here for a bachelor party. We wanted to see an SEC football game. It's an experience all throughout the country. Chuck, I can't tell you how many times I go to Arizona, I go to Southern California, I go wherever. If I'm wearing some sort of SEC gear, it's an attractive piece. It's almost like the, you know, porch lamp for bugs of, oh, hey, a light. Let me see what this is all about. And that is exactly what college football can do, because I had a buddy of mine a long time ago who said a line that has stuck with me for the longest time. And that is, nobody wants to watch, now I'll clean it up a little bit, nobody wants to watch cruddy football. That's what fans tell you about whenever they have an FCS opponent or a directional school or somebody on the schedule. They say, why am I driving from Birmingham to Tuscaloosa and going down McFarland Avenue for this? I don't need to do that. I'll wait until LSU comes to town. I'll wait until Auburn comes to town. Other than that, I can just watch it on TV and be a casual viewer and check on what else is out there. But again, with football, in the age of the expanded playoffs, in the really, I guess you could say, incentive to be able to schedule better, these are ways that you can capture the audience.
Yeah, if you tell me you're a hockey fan and you're from Winnipeg, I carry. All right, well, okay, well, I can listen to this guy. I've had the same response from folks. You really went to an SEC? Absolutely is the response. David and Dan and everybody, thank you all for being here. 22 hours, we'll all be back with more college football conversation.
Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.